Mark chapter 11 in your Bible. Anybody remember what we're talking about around here? We're talking about faith. Amen? Talking about faith. Glory be to God. Mark chapter 11 in your Bibles. Hallelujah. Mark 11. Glory be to God. Go to Romans 12 if you would as well, please. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. Glory to God. Mark chapter 11. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We're talking about faith. Amen. We love faith. We appreciate faith. Amen. We're talking about the basics of faith in this place. We have talked about the new birth. We've talked about righteousness. So simple, even a child can understand it. Amen. We've talked about being seated in positions of authority at the Father's right hand in the Trinity. Amen. Hallelujah. We talked about the importance of speaking forth the word. We talked about the importance of corresponding actions of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. We talked about three things about powerful faith. Faith comes by hearing. Faith works by love. Faith is released through the mouth. We talked about the two kinds of faith. See, I remember all this. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sure you do too. We talked about the Thomas kind of faith. We talked about the Abraham kind of faith. The Thomas kind of faith is a physical faith. It looks only at the natural. It refuses to believe what it cannot see. And Jesus said when we operate in the Thomas kind of faith, we're a bunch of faithless bums. Well, he said the first half of it. I said the second half. Amen? He said you're faithless when you operate in the Thomas kind of faith. The faith that says I'll believe it only when I can first see it. I'll believe it. Jesus said to Thomas, don't be like that, Thomas. That's faithless. Amen? And we talked about the Abraham kind of faith. That's the kind of faith that believes before it sees. Amen? Bible says Abraham was strong in faith. He refused to stagger in unbelief, constantly giving glory to God because he believed that what God promised, he was able to do. Amen? And he and his wife gave birth to a son when they were quite old. Amen? How old was Abraham how old was Sarah when she gave birth to Isaac? 100 years old, I believe. Yep. Amen. Does anybody remember what Isaac's name means? It means laughter. It means laughing one. Amen. And you'll be laughing too. If you put your faith on the promises of God and refuse to back off when they come to pass in your life, you'll be jumping and shouting too, just like Abraham and Sarah were. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to share with you from the Bible. Amen. I like to preach out of the Bible. I think preachers should preach out of the Bible and not out of the Encyclopedia Britannica, not out of the Boston Globe, not even out of the Reader's Digest. Amen? Hallelujah. Although you can read in the Reader's Digest, they have. You can go online and put in Reader's Digest miracles on a search engine and go. You can pull up all the miracles that have ever been published in the Reader's Digest. I was over there looking at one the other day. Congressman Upshaw, I think he's from South Carolina. From the time he was 1 year old, he was in a wheelchair. And he got pushed into a William Branham meeting in the early 1960s when he was 60 years old. He had been in a wheelchair for 59 years. This was in Reader's Digest. In a William Branham meeting, a true prophet of God who got in trouble at the end of his life, got off the word, got in trouble, died prematurely, had to go home early. Congressman Upshaw spent 59 years in a wheelchair, got pushed into a William Branham meeting. William Branham preached a sermon. Brother Upshaw, he was a Christian, was sitting in his wheelchair up in the front. The message was over, the service was over, and William Branham was leaving. All of a sudden, it came into his heart to turn and say, by the way, the congressman is healed. And the congressman came out of the wheelchair after 59 years of not being able to walk. Amen? Reader's Digest. It's in Reader's Digest. Amen? It's either in the early 60s or the late 50s. You can go online and you can read it. God is still a God of miracles. Amen. If only we believe. The Bible says the willing and the obedient will eat the good of the land. Amen. Now, tonight we're going to talk about faith and the fact that you already have it. You don't have to pray for it. If you're born again, you already have it, the Bible says. Amen. I've had people ask me to pray, Pastor, pray that I'd have faith. Say, I can't do that. That'd be an unbiblical prayer. You know this. We've talked about this before. But we're going to spend this session talking about it tonight because that's what the Holy Spirit has put on my heart for those of you who are here. And just for those of you who are here tonight. Amen. How many of you know that you're here by divine appointment tonight? You were drawn here by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You didn't drag your shuffling self down here. You were drawn here. You obeyed God, and God will honor your obedience. For no act of obedience ever goes unrewarded by God. Amen?
Right.
You came here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit tonight because He has something to say to you. Amen? And if you're tired because you've had a long day, and you find yourself nodding off, you just go right ahead and stand up and get your blood circulating. Stretch and reach the sky. Amen. Do whatever you need to do. You're welcome to do that. Amen. Keep yourself awake. Amen. You don't want to miss this. Amen. And that's not a put down. I'm giving you permission. If you need to get up and get your blood moving, you just go right ahead. You can stand right up while I preach if you want to tonight. Amen. And you just keep yourself awake that way. You did good getting here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, even if you're established, you go to Mark chapter 11 if you haven't already. Even if you feel you're already established in the message of faith, what we're going to hear tonight is going to help you. It's going to be a blessing to you and an encouragement to you. Amen. We can't talk about the basics of faith without talking about Mark chapter 11. Amen. It is the most amazing revelation in all of Scripture. Not the greatest revelation, but the most amazing. The greatest revelation in Scripture is what? John 10:10, where Jesus said, "The thief came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life," Jesus said, "and that you might have it more abundantly." That's the greatest revelation in all of Scripture. For there it is revealed that God is not the damner, He's the blesser. He's not the curser, He's the blesser. Satan is the damner, God is the blesser. Amen? Religion needs to wake up. God is not our problem. He's not the source of all the problems in the world. Jesus said, it's the devil. Amen? So that's the greatest revelation in all of Scripture. But the most amazing revelation in all of Scripture, at least to me, is found right here in Mark chapter 11. We'll pick it up. I'll show you the verse that I consider to be the most amazing revelation in Scripture as we get to it. But right here in Mark 11, pick it up 2 days before Jesus' crucifixion in verse 12. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, He came, if haply He might find anything thereon. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered, see, you can answer your circumstances with words. Jesus answered and said unto it, the fig tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And His disciples heard it. He created it. He can curse it to illustrate something for His children, if He wants to. Amen? Jump down to verse 20. Amen? And in the morning, this is the next morning after He had cursed the fig tree 24 hours earlier. And in the morning, or the next morning, as they passed by the fig tree, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto Him, "Master, look at the fig tree which thou cursed. It's withered away." And Jesus answering saith unto them, "Have faith in God." Now you know that that says, have the God kind of faith. Amen? How many of you understand it's necessary to repeat these things? This is how faith comes. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing. And faith enters in through the eye gate, and through the head gate. So we go over these things on purpose. The literal Greek actually says, have the God kind of faith, or hold and possess the God kind of faith. Now, it would be wrong for Jesus to command us to have, to hold fast to, or to operate in the God kind of faith if it wasn't possible. If it wasn't possible for us to operate in the same kind of faith God operates in, Jesus would have been out of his jurisdiction commanding us to do so. He told us to do it because it's possible. Amen? Man was originally created with God's faith, but doubt entered into his heart when Satan challenged him in the garden. You find that in Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 7. Amen? Well, Jesus came and restored man's dominion and restored man's dignity. And now whenever a human being is born again, he is restored to a position of faith before God. Amen? That's the story of redemption in a nutshell right there. Amen? When an individual is born again, faith is restored. And if it's properly exercised, it will produce amazing results. And Jesus went on right here in verse 22, and he showed us how to use our faith, the way God uses his faith. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou, that's a problem, you know that, you know this, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt or stagger in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, according to Jesus Christ, the God kind of faith is when a person believes something in their heart and says what they believe with their mouth, expecting it to come to pass. According to Jesus, when this principle is properly applied, things happen and God is glorified. But we have to apply the principle. Amen? This is exactly how God created everything that's in existence with the exception of man. He didn't say, man, be. He made man from the dust of the earth. But everything else he created with the words of his mouth. From the smallest molecule, the smallest atom, to the greatest galaxy, this is how God created everything in existence, whether it be light, firmament, heaven, earth, oceans, grass, herbs, seed. He created it all with the words of his mouth. 11 times in the book of Genesis, God said, let there be. And whatever he said, let that be concerning, it's still in operation and in existence today. That's how faith works. That's how our faith is supposed to work. Amen? God doesn't have to get up every morning and repeat his commands. What he said is still in operational today because he said what he meant, he meant what he said, and he expected what he said to come to pass. Do you? Do you expect what you say to come to pass? Do you expect what you say to come to pass? Hallelujah. Thank you for joining in this evening. Amen. Jesus demonstrated the law of faith right here on this fig tree. And then he turned to his disciples and he made the most amazing statement. He said, you have this very kind of faith, now learn to use it. That's what he was saying when he said, have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, whoever shall speak to his circumstances, expecting them to change, that circumstances will change. He said, you have the same kind of faith as God. Now learn to use it and use it. And that's what we're doing around here with the basics of faith. Amen? We're learning how to use our faith, what it is and how to operate in it. Amen? Hallelujah. I've said this to people before. And they said, yes, Pastor, I'd like to have that kind of faith. Pray for me. And I said, I just told you from the Scripture, Jesus said you already have it. And thank you, Pastor. Please pray that I'll have faith. And you want to say, you know, your brain's the same size as mine. How come it doesn't work as well? Jesus said you already have. I'm not saying that to Barbara. Amen. Your brain's not the same size as mine. Bigger. Hallelujah. How I just used her as an illustration. Amen? Jesus said, you have the God kind of faith, now learn how to use it, to his disciples. Then he turned and he taught them how to use it. Amen? You can't pray to receive what Jesus said you already have. Look at Romans chapter 12, if you would. Amen? If you're born again, anybody in here born again tonight? You already have what the Bible calls the measure of faith. You have as much faith as anybody who ever walked in this earth. You have. You may not have developed it in the way that others have developed their faith by hearing the word over and over, stepping out on the faith that they developed by hearing it over and over with corresponding actions. Maybe you haven't developed your faith as highly as some people who have walked in this earth have developed their faith, but you still have the same amount of faith as any Christian, any born-again Christian in this earth. Amen? Romans chapter 12. Pastor, we already know this. Well, praise the Lord. It's going to go deeper in you tonight. Amen? Romans chapter 12, verse 3. You already have the God kind of faith. You don't have to get it. Say, I got it!
I got it.
Romans 12, 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Some of these Romans were thinking they were better than others and had more faith than others. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He has apportioned, bestowed, and shared the same measure of faith with all of his children. If you're born again today, Paul said you have the measure of faith. He didn't say a measure of faith right here in the King James, and that's the best translation of it, the King James. Amen. Paul said at the new birth, we all receive the measure of faith. We all start out with exactly the same measure of faith. So don't be believing the lie that you don't have as much faith as brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, because you do. And you can develop it. And the Bible says in Daniel 11:32 that those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. How do we know God? Through the Word. Those who know God through His Word. Those who come to understanding and knowledge of God through His Word shall be strong in faith and do exploits. Amen? Anybody in here want to do exploits for God? And read more Scripture. Read more Scripture. If you feel your faith level is low, squeeze in a couple more verses a day. So this precious, holy, written Word of God, it's a supernatural book. You'll be amazed what 4 or 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 more verses a day will do for your faith level. Listen, it'll jack your faith right up. Amen? Few more verses a day. Amen? You can do this. Amen? Some people, I've had people give me a bunch of attitude when I tell them they already have the faith that they insist on praying for. But this is Bible doctrine. Every believer is given the measure of faith. Amen? If you resist it and continue to pray for faith, you're resisting Jesus and you don't want to do that. Amen? Sometimes it's best to just shut your religious thinking down, shut it off, and walk in the light of God's Word. Amen? God's Word is truth. Jesus said to His Father, He said, Thy Word is truth. And the truth of God's Word is this. You have the measure of faith imparted to you at the new birth. And it's the same kind of faith that God used to create everything that's in existence with the exception of man. That's resident within you. It's on the inside of you. It's not something that's promised to come in the sweet by and by. It's in there now, if you're born again. Amen? Hallelujah. Go over in your Bible, if you would. Let's just look at some more verses of Scripture here tonight. Where do we go from here? Hallelujah. Look in your Bible, and you've got the Amplified Bible over there, Barbara. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The faith of Creator God is resident within you. As you're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, say that with me. Say, the faith of Creator God is resident within me. And I'm not afraid to use it. Let's say it again. The faith of Creator God is resident within me, and I'm not afraid to use it. Hallelujah. Here's what we do right over here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 13. Paul writing, he's actually quoting King David from a time of tremendous trial that David went through in his life. I believe it was when he was involved in a civil war with his own son Absalom. Amen. David wrote this. Paul's quoting it. We, having, holding and possessing, just like Jesus said, he said, hold and possess the God kind of faith. Paul said, we holding and possessing the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Paul said, we have the same spirit of faith, or we have the same faith. He didn't say we're begging for it. He didn't say we're crying out for it, we're praying for it, we're waiting for it, we're believing for it. He said, we have the same spirit of faith. And it's the kind of faith that believes and speaks what it believes, just like Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 23. Amen? Hallelujah. He's referring to the same faith Jesus was referring to when Jesus said, have the God kind of faith. Jesus called it the God kind of faith. Paul called it the spirit of faith. But they're one and the same. If you look the words up, they're the same. Amen? They're the identical words in the original Greek. And you have a measure of the same faith that God used to create the galaxies, resident on the inside of you. The same measure that your brother and sister have, that Lester Summerall had, that Smith Wigglesworth had when he started out, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, whoever it is, Marilyn Hickey, whoever it is you respect and admire in ministry today or yesterday, you have the same spirit of faith, you have the same measure of faith, and you can develop it simply by spending more time in God's Word or hearing great gospel messages preached like I preach in here every Sunday and Wednesday. Amen. That will cause your faith level to rise to the point where you'll do great exploits for God. If only in your personal life, if only in your family life, you will do great exploits for God. Amen. You'll see answers to prayer that you hadn't been seeing previously. If you'll build your faith level by hearing the Word over and over, that's why we make those CDs available to people at no cost or a small offering, whatever you want to give, instead of charging people for the Word of God, because we want to see people get the Word of God on the inside of them and accomplish God's perfect will for their lives. Amen? In the Amplified Bible, in 2 Peter chapter 1, let's all go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll read it here in the King James, and then I'm going to... Hallelujah. 2 Peter, just some verses tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1. Let me know when you're there. 2 Peter 1. Look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, not going to get it, you got it, to them... See, he's writing to the entire body here. To them that have, past tense, if you're born again, obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This thing's loaded, this verse right here. This verse is loaded with revelation. Peter said right here, if you're born again, you have obtained like precious faith with us. Who's the us he's talking about? Him and the other 12 apostles. He said, you got the same like precious faith that we got when we were born again. Most people believe the apostles had more faith than anybody, and we could never attain that faith level. That's not true. Peter said, we've obtained the same precious faith, or like precious faith, with the apostles through the righteousness of God. What does he mean through the righteousness of God? How does it come through the righteousness of God? Well, how does righteousness come? When you're born again, righteousness is imparted to you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So at the new birth, when you become righteous, or when you become righteous at the new birth, imparted to you is like precious faith, the same faith the apostles had who walked with Jesus. That's what that says. Do you see that in there? Now, Peter called it like precious faith here in the King James. What does the Amplified call like precious faith?
An equal privilege of like precious
faith. An equal privilege of like precious faith. The Bible says at the new birth, or at the time of righteousness being imparted to each one of us, we all received an equal privilege, and a privilege it is for God to share His faith with His children, an equal privilege of like precious faith. That warrants saying it again. Say, I have the God kind of faith.
I have the God kind of faith.
And I'm not afraid to use it. I use it for my car. I use it for my housing. I use it for my finances. I use it for my body. I use it for favor at work. I use it for my family's salvation.
I have the same kind of faith
as Peter, as the apostles,
as
Jesus,
as
God,
and
as the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Now, we don't have the anointing without measure like Jesus did. The Bible says in John 3:34 that Jesus was anointed without measure. But corporately, body-wide, around the world, we can share the same anointing that was on Jesus. You want a piece of that action? Get in the Word! Spend a little bit more time in the Word, and your faith will have a nice, nice catch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hoo-wee. Hallelujah. 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 My Lord. That reminds me of the night she first saw me and snagged me. Hallelujah. She just leapt for me. Hallelujah. And caught me. Nice catch. Hallelujah. We have the same kind of faith resident within us that God used when He created the very galaxies. That's what the Bible reveals. Do you believe that? Listen, hallelujah. In our next lesson, see, I'm not keeping you long here tonight. In our next lesson, we're going to be talking a little bit more about how to develop that faith. But I wanted you to see from Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, have the God kind of faith. He wouldn't have commanded us to receive the God kind of faith and operate in it if it wasn't possible for us to have the God kind of faith and operate in it. Amen? Paul would not have written by the unction of the Holy Spirit that we have the same spirit of faith if we didn't have the same spirit of faith. Peter would not have written in 2 Peter 1:1 that we all have like precious faith, even as the apostles all had like precious faith, if it wasn't possible for us to have like precious faith. It's resident within us. And we can increase it, we can decrease it. It's totally up to us, amen? We can increase it, we can turn it into the Abraham kind of faith, or we can just let it sit idle, not use it, refuse to step out with corresponding actions, and just settle back into the Thomas kind of faith, which Jesus said is faithless. Amen? You get anything out of this little message here tonight? Amen? You know that Jesus, you know what Jesus' first words were after receiving the baptism with the Holy Spirit? His very first words. He went down the River Jordan in Matthew chapter 3. He was baptized in the River Jordan. John said, I don't want to baptize you, Jesus, please, I don't want. And he said, let it be so for now. You baptize me in water. You just go ahead, you just do that. John baptized Jesus in water, and the Bible says that a dove came upon him, when he came up out of the water and he received the infilling with the Holy Spirit. And as soon as he received the infilling with the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness, remember, for 40 days of fasting and prayer, and to show him how to use his weapons against the devil. How to use his spiritual weapons, the weapons of his warfare against the devil. And at the end of that 40-day period of fasting and prayer, these are the first words Jesus spoke. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's significant. When he received the baptism with the Holy Ghost and power, and you know, if you've been here during the miracle series we've been teaching on Sunday mornings, we had a message called Miracles in the Holy Spirit, and we went all through the Old Testament and the New Testament showing that everything Jesus did, he did by the agency of the Holy Spirit when he was in the earth. The same Holy Spirit that indwells you if you're born again and baptized with the Holy Spirit. When he received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the first words that came out of his mouth, and they were to the devil, he said, "You listen up, Bucky boy. I'm the boss around here now." These were his first words. His first words after having received the baptism with power. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Do you know that Jeremiah said, if we will separate the precious from the vile, our mouths will be as God's mouth? Amen? Your mouth, my mouth, our mouths, you may stand up if you'd like to. Amen? Are to be as the mouth of God. Comes into my heart. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out such abundance of blessing, you'll have to make room to receive it." And the next verse says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." You know how God rebukes the devourer for your sake? Would you like to know how God rebukes the devourer for your sake? Through the words of your mouth. Through the very words of your mouth. He said, "If you will separate the precious from the vile, my mouth shall, your mouth shall be as my mouth." That's how God rebukes the devourer for our sake. Through our mouths. Through words of faith. Amen? Through our mouth. Say, "Satan, I rebuke you. From my finances. From my family. From my body. From my mind. I rebuke you. In Jesus' strong name." That's how faith works. And you have the faith to do that. You have the authority to do that. Amen. You are a new creation that never existed before. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You have the same standing with God as the Lord Jesus Christ. You are seated in a position of tremendous authority at the Father's right hand in heavenly places. And you have the absolute right to use the name of Jesus and to expect supernatural results. All by the same faith that God used when He created all that is in existence, from the smallest atom to the greatest universe. That same type of faith, the God kind of faith, is resident within you. I encourage you, as we dismiss here tonight, to use it, use it, use it, use it more, use it more. You're not using it enough. Use it more. Speak more. Speak your faith more. Speak it more. Throughout the day, be thanking God for the power of His Word in operation in your life. Say, "Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for your Word." In Jesus' strong name. Throughout the day, whatever your need might be. Maybe you have need of an automobile. His Word said in Philippians 4:19, "For my God shall meet all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Just based on that verse alone, you can say, "Father, thank you for your word as you're thinking about that car that's in the process of being delivered. The loved one that needs to be saved. In Acts 16:31, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your entire household. You think about those loved ones during the day that need to be saved. Acts 16:31 comes to mind saying, Father, thank you for your word. And God moves and He grows in your situation. Amen. That's what the Bible reveals. Amen. Give Him praise tonight. Give Him glory. Paul and Silas were in the deepest, darkest prison. They lifted their hands and they gave Him praise. They gave Him glory. They sang praises unto God and thank God for His precious, holy, written word. You know, that's how to get God to move in your life. Just start. If you haven't been thanking Him all day, throughout the day, every day, for His word, saying, thank you for your word. If you'll start doing it now, you'll start seeing it move in your life unlike any other time in all of your existence for. God has said in Psalm 138, verse 2, He said, I have magnified my word above my very name. Oh, if we'll just magnify His word, using the God kind of faith that's resident within us, magnify His word throughout the day, very simply by opening our mouths and saying, Father, do it again with me now. Father, thank you for your word. In Jesus' strong name, you'll see the word go to work. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship Him. Amen. Remember what Jesus said. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And God said, if you separate the precious from the vile, your mouth will be as my mouth. Your mouth will be as my mouth. And I will rebuke the devourer for you through your very mouth. And open the windows of heaven and pour out such abundance of blessing upon you, you'll have to make room to receive it. You get anything out of this tonight at all, say it with me. I have the God kind of faith.
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 And I will use it.
I will not lose it.
In Jesus' strong name.
In Jesus' strong name.